Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.
Enjoy. It's June. No, it's January 19th. Boy, am I getting ahead of myself. But this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, and we're coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Santa Cruz Mountains of Northern California, full of redwoods and rain, as it happens. Here at Lupin, clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. And I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. And we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition and what to make of it. Sprinkled with laughter, good music, and a few surprises.
Honestly?
Honestly.
Our show is sponsored by Go Raw, that makes natural food that's really healthy for you, and by Universe Spirit, helping us to become more aware and conscious of this impending global crisis brought about by the global weather change patterns. More on that at 11. She's doing a visual equivalent of honestly. The reason we are focusing on the subject of honestly.
I call it a word phrase because it's a phrase the way it's used by so many people as, are you telling the truth?
Honestly?
Oh, what's wrong with you?
Honestly.
Honestly? Why do you always do that?
Honestly?
I expected more from you. Honestly? Can't be serious.
Honestly?
Is that real? Honestly?
Honestly, Rochelle.
That's what we're going to look at
really.
Tonight. Honestly. Actually, it was suggested by Universe Spirit President Lawrence is the one who says, why don't you do honestly? And we are now doing it. So, Lawrence, if you're listening, honestly.
Well, there's so many aspects to the whole notion of honesty and honestly. For example, can I be honest with you? Like when you get a question like that. Or can I ask you a personal question?
Honestly?
These are the kinds of things that we are concerned about. But I wanted to share something with you about honesty from the first spiritual book I ever read. We quote a lot of books here, and we've never talked really about this book. And it was the perfect book. It was called First Questions on the Life of the Spirit. And that was in 1966.
Before some of you were born.
And my lover and friend and cohort at the time, Anne, gave me the book after I had raised the questions that are raised in the book, like, does God really exist? After death, what? Can I know God's will? These are the titles of the chapters, and these were all the questions I had. And where can you get the best barbecued ribs in Kansas City? I was so surprised
that
was in there.
Honestly, that's not true.
No, honestly. Okay. I wanted to share this little inscription Anne put in here. Anne was a dear, dear, dear heart. We were like so connected, and I met her in summer stock, as Rochelle knows. Did you ever meet her?
Once.
You did?
I think so. When she came to a show that did, didn't she?
Oh, my God. Well, yes, she drove up. This is many years later. We were doing family baggage in Florida, and she was on the other side of the state, and she drove up. But you weren't there.
No.
I don't think you ever met her. Anne was 15 years older than I was, which made it interesting when we met, and I was 23, and I was the director, and she was my leading lady, and we fell in love. I didn't know that she was that much older.
Or that you were that much younger.
Right. Well, I knew that. That was pending. On top of that, she had 5 boys, ages 6 to 11. To make a long story short, I go back to Memphis, where I had a theater job, and I was so in love with Anne. She was living in Miami. We had met in summer stock in North Carolina. And I moved down there to be with her and, as it turns out, five other boys, I being her sixth boy. I was her toy boy, though. But she had a deep soul, and she and I entered into this search for the essence, the spirit. But she wrote this little inscription, and I'd like to share it with you all. Errol, let nothing disturb thee, nothing affright thee. All things are passing. God never changeth. Patience endureth, attaineth to all things. Who God possesseth, nothing is wanting. Alone God suffices. Or she said, sufficeth. I love you, Anne. I think the guys who wrote those words originally had a lisp, because it said, God never changeth, sufficeth, and passeth it. You know, what we think of as a lisp in their days might be like a high level of speech expression. You thinketh? One of the things that stayed with me, I should say, from this amazing book, which kind of looks at it from all kinds of different perspectives, he talks about learning to watch yourself, be honest with yourself, really see what you were doing. The whole idea of to watch. We're admonished to pay attention. This is critical to the spiritual life. But one of the things he says is watch is not an inaccurate translation, but it's seriously inadequate. Here's interesting. Greek word is Gregorio, spelled G-R-E-G-O-R-E-U-O. And it does mean vigilant, pay attention. But it means more. It means to wake up, keep awake, wake up. Modern equivalent would be, come to, come on, snap out of it. This word is loaded, so it really is worthwhile paying attention to Gregorio. It comes from the root igior, forgive my pronunciation, all you Latin-speaking listeners. A rich word in meaning, all related to turning point in your life, which would occur if we began to obey the directive, watch. Wake up. Pay attention.
Honestly. Because if we don't watch out, we just keep wandering around in circles.
That seems to be one of the things we do, which is why it's kind of important to begin to be honest with ourselves. And the first thing that I noticed when I went on this honesty diet as a result of this book, where it says, take 30 days and don't tell a lie and watch yourself lying. I was aghast at how much lies I told. This is important to uncover and to realize the ways in which we are actually dishonest. That's the first step.
There's a mirror in my bedroom to show me who I am, but the woman in it isn't. Because mirrors just reflect, they show what you're expecting. So what you get's not necessarily what you see. Because that's the way of dishonesty. See the lies that I have told, the truth that I've misspoken. The answers I have phrased so carefully. Here an act of less than kindness, there a bit of willful blindness. But then everyone is blind to what they don't want to see. Cause that's the way of dishonesty. And tree outside my window, and it sways in every breeze, but it still grows tall with graceful dignity. Gonna make that tree my symbol. Stop going where the wind blows. Stop trying to be what I think someone else thinks I should be. 'Cause that's the way of dishonesty. Yes, that's the way of dishonesty.
Honestly, she hit it on the head. Who
that
is
was
she?
Jan Seids, S-E-I-D-E-S, Dishonesty, a song that so articulated this issue of being honest with ourselves. He goes on to say, by the way, the author...
Who is this he?
Tom Powers, I was the author of this book. And he says, the dynamite in this whole thing about watching is that if we can hear this and obey this command, it'll change our lives and launch us, really, not just sentimentally or theoretically, but honestly, on the way to, he uses the metaphor of God's living truth, to God himself, to the very essence of our being. And as we try to realize and share with you on this program, that essence is this heart, and the heart is that which we share with all being. And we are united in our heart, and that's why part of the waking up is to reconnect back in the heart. But in order to do that, we have to face all these fears. Yuck. Professor, have you given that much thought? Professor Umbridge, by the way.
Oh, yes. Facing one's fears is probably the main focus of the curricula. That is because it is only fear that is actually standing between you and awareness, or as you like to put it, waking up, watching, etc. However, fears could be very devious. They're the obvious fears, and you go, oh, that's very scary. And then you, hopefully, as after a shot adrenaline, will move your arse and pass away from the frightened thing. But in our culture, because we have concocted this sense of ourself, which is really an amalgamation of all the judgments and the beliefs and the boundaries and the codified, recalcified perceptions that we use to encrust and embody and surround and dress ourselves, there's not much room for real awareness in that, which is where a good slap in the face by the universe should be a welcome thing.
What do you mean by a slap in the face by the universe?
I mean when the universe bumps up against you in such a way that you are really challenged to consider every possible option because you've been reduced to some degree of helplessness left to your own devices.
Honestly, I somehow think that the path to enlightenment or watchfulness or essence or anything else doesn't always have to come by the universe bumping into you. It can gently caress you too and wake you up. I think when you're ready to wake up sometimes, you don't need a bump. If you've been calcified, you need a bump. If you've been broken down, you may need a bump. But if you're awakening, you don't need a bump. You need a caress to take you out of your sleep.
Well, I can see that that might be an option, but probably for not very many people. I remember I had a friend who was a PhD, a doctor, and he worked at a health clinic, and he was like one of the heads of it. And we were talking about offering programs, and nobody was very interested in a health program per se. But if you said it was about losing weight or dealing with your ongoing chronic pain in your neck or your stomach pains moving from left to right and front to back, et cetera, then they would sign up. So at this stage of our development, I do think that it's usually going to require a good shot of, you can't go this way.
Honestly?
Yeah, honestly. It's as honest as I can be given, and this is another important aspect, given the degree of lack of awareness and ignorance that I actually possess.
Honestly?
It's amazing to me that I get along at all.
Well, you know the rudiments of life, survival, and that's how you get along. But I think what we're talking about is the discovery of something beyond life survival, beyond this sense of like, I have to protect this corporeal body or, oh my God, I'm going to die, which is true. But if you get beyond that and you realize there's something more than the physical matter of the planet of which you are a part, that's those questions that you seem to be talking about from that guy, Powers.
Thomas Powers, yeah.
So when you start asking questions of the universe, like, is there God? What am I here for? What's my purpose? Does anything matter beyond what matters to me that I can hold in my hand and spend and eat and taste and, you know, all the sensory kinds of things? Those questions don't always come out of pain and suffering. Those questions can come when you're ready for them to come. Or you can feel like, oh, where's my life going? I don't know what to do with myself. And you have that sense of depression and helplessness.
Whatever it takes, whatever works, every person's going to get their own particular nudge. And how it comes is different for every person. But many will not pay attention to the nudge.
They want to be nudged.
That's another reason why I'm pretty confident, honestly, that we just continue.
Honestly?
Yeah, we continue on and on. We just saw the movie Lucy. Should I say something about it? Maybe you haven't seen it, but there's this one philosophical perspective. There's a scene where this guy says something about, well, I could do this or die. And she just kind of passingly, hardly with any energy at all, says, no one dies, boop, and moves down the road. This is a character who's in advanced stages of total awareness.
The whole thing about this movie is that we don't use all of our brain power, that we only use 10% of our brain power. And what would happen, who would we be if we used a lot more? Seems to me that's what the movie's about. And then, of course, we find out. I loved it.
Rochelle is kind of like Lucy in many ways.
Lucille Ball, maybe.
Well, there
more
is
more than that,
that
Lucy.
I'm often motivated to sing da 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 ba, da.
And he knows the music.
This is Lucy's theme song. But Rochelle really is. You are a kind of a wonderful combination of Lucy, Gracie, and Golda, as in Golda Meir, premier of Israel several years ago.
Honestly. I think sometimes more like the preacher lady that had three names.
Amy Semple McPherson.
Exactly.
You should have seen Golda out there. She was like being physical when she was young, and she was like a warrior. She was amazing.
She was a warrior.
Especially in America, shopping malls when they first, she would break through the aisles and tear
honestly
down. Well, yeah, anybody knew her. But you had cabinet meetings in her kitchen while she fed you kreplach and tea, and I loved that about her. I saw some scenes in a movie about her with Ingrid Bergman.
That's right, who played her. I love that you remember those things. Keep him by my side, honestly, so that I say, Errol, what was that? Who was that? Do you know that? And he remembers.
Yeah, honestly, I do.
Honestly, you found the light. Honestly, you found the light. Honestly, you found the light. And with all your body, and with all your mind, you can't decide what's right. Honestly, you found the way. Honestly.
Honestly, You Found the Lie by Millard James. Wasn't that just so right on? You Found the Light. What is the light?
Millard James?
Yes. Unlike the James Miller, who was part of the Jesse James gang. His name was James Miller.
Honestly, Daryl, you can go someplace and nobody
else
will
They used to get them mixed up, Jesse Miller.
What does the light mean? What is the light that you're finding? That's the thing you're talking about, the essence, the sense of peace, the sense of wholeness, the sense of oneness, that sense of moreness.
I like to take a look at the light as a phenomenon, and perhaps I could bring in Professor Schnitzel to give us some more from a physics perspective.
Oh, yeah, this is Professor Schnitzel. And from the perspective of deeping down and what the forces are, light is actually this leapfrog phenomenon that's happening between the ignition and the electron. They're leaping in front of each other. The electron kicks up the ignition, so it goes whoop. I think I did the whoop for you before. But it's not so much a whoop as much as a kick. But the combination of whoop and then the other goes kick is that what makes the light be able to go and keep going. So it goes endlessly because they each one kicking the other in the ass, so to speak. And this is very applicable to humans because you have to play leapfrog with each other in order to keep the light moving, to stay the light. What that means is you keep the energy moving between you and you don't put up resistance. It's just that simple. And when you allow the movement between you and whatever it is you're facing with life, then the electron that is the other that you're looking at or engaging with, and you allow the energy to playfully move back and forth, but then you are living the light. And that's it, honestly.
I honestly believe that you honestly so.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Professor. That was good. So let me see if I got it, though. What I hear you say is that when you move the energy back and forth, and if you look at the places where life gets backed up, we're afraid to keep the energy moving because there's a fear there's not going to be enough, so we better hold on to it. So that leads to hoarding and fear of not having enough. I noticed that the other night. Someone was eating more than I thought they should be eating of our dinner. This is so humbling. But anyway, I noticed what was my resistance. Why couldn't they just eat it all? And I saw it was fear. It was fear in me that I wouldn't have it in the future. And that's the big one. That is the big fear that drives a lot of us. Would you say so, Rabbi?
Well, yeah, the fear that drives people is that they won't be around in the future and they will be not be able to do shopping. And that's right, because most people's lives depend on shopping. One way or another, they'd like to go and get something and get a deal. So everyone's looking for a deal. And why are they looking for a deal?
Because not everyone is looking for a deal.
Some people are looking for a good deal. And why do they want a good deal? Because if you can save a little and you don't have to spend retail, you'll have that left over for what? For the future, when you go out shopping again for something else. That's the fear. So here's the thing, though. Where's the future? There is no future, because when you get to what you think is the future, guess what? It's the present.
Of course.
It's always the present. On the other hand, you do make plans. You make an appointment to see someone at 3:05 underneath the railroad terminal bus system, and you want them to be there at 3:05. So there's this paradox, which is there's the future that you prepare for. But the irony is there really is no future, because when you get there, even according to your best plans, it'll still be the present. So that should tell us, since it's always all going to be the present, we can relax because the present always provides what it is we need, no matter when we get there. Honestly, this is true.
Honestly.
That's great. I think that's such a fabulous breakthrough.
Honestly.
I was asking myself earlier, if I had to stand up on the street corner and preach or proclaim something that was a full 100 version of honestly, and these were the words, and I get to say these words. As someone who has spent their life looking for words to, in fact, say that very thing, and have said it numerous times. But each time it seems to demand a new way of perceiving it. Watch out. Pay attention. That's good. I could live with that. Pay attention. What he was trying to say in the book and the emphasis on watching, paying attention. Honestly.
Honestly, I believe you're right, because I believe that's true. But paying attention without judgment is very important, because people can pay attention and then they judge what they're seeing and then they go into hiding again. It's like a little turtle coming out of its shell, looking around, and then it sees something it doesn't like and it goes back in its shell. So the trick is to pay attention and to just observe it and see what you can learn from it, not so much as go, I'm paying attention and I find that disgusting. Therefore, I will try not to ever look at it again. I will bury it in my backyard. Honestly, to live without judgment is the most important thing of all. Pay attention and make adjustments.
Judgment is putting an assessment on something and using your assessment, and often quantitative, to separate yourself from the thing that you're assessing in order to protect yourself. That's what we're talking about when we talk about judgment.
Yeah. Honestly, judgment separates us.
What do you think? Father O'Malley, you're here tonight. Oh, sure it is. It's called the add-on. You know, when you add on to something there with, how do you say it, Rochelle? I liked it. When you add an adjective to it there, darling, what was it that you're talking about in your describe it something? When you add an adjective to it, like it's awful or it's unbearable?
I always say a non-judgmental paragraph will have no adjectives. Just say what happened. In other words, you start adding like it was a terrible experience rather than I dropped the balls.
That's why we offer an adjective withdrawal training program.
Father O'Malley.
It's a weekend retreat. People come to the retreat and they bring all their adjectives that they've been using to define and describe themselves and others. Everybody's got a box of adjectives that they bring in. Awful, hateful, wonderful, good, bad. All these other ways of putting labels on things that set up their value. Not that they're bad, the adjectives. By the way, I've known some very fine adjectives.
Adjectives don't have to be, and judgment doesn't have to be about bad things. Judgment can be just as separating with good things. She's so wonderful, I could never be as wonderful as her. That wonderful person, you can push off against that and be separate from it as well. Honestly.
Well, here's a couple of my favorite adjectives. Glorious and obnoxious. That wasn't it, actually, but that's a good one to bring in.
Glorious and obnoxious.
Yeah, they're like two ends of the same flavor.
Well, I've never seen them together, but that's fun.
Glorious and disastrous, whatever it is. The point is that we do live in this reality that's a continuum. Things are moving from here, oh, that feels good, and moving over there, oh, it doesn't feel so good, and oh, that's bigger, and oh, that's smaller. And we live in this continuum universe. Now, here's the mistake we made. We don't realize it's just a continuum, that there's an inevitable coming back the other direction, like a ball and a clock works. And we think if we keep going in this direction, though, it's going to end, like the flat earth they used to have around until they got rid of the flat earth and build a round one so that it was more in conformance with people's new ideas.
Honestly.
But anyway, we encourage you to bring your adjectives in. And the first thing we'll ask you is, what are you using them for? And how are you using them? You all can try this, you listeners, to this program here. Please, remind them what they're listening to. Do you mind there, boy? Well, this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. Rochelle and I are exploring what it is to be honest and dishonest. And what do you want to say? Honestly, huh?
We're using the word honestly, and we are exploring it. I love exploring a word, like not so much finding the meaning, but finding how it's meant to operate in the world. What does it mean to be honest? I think that there are people who really believe they're being honest when they're telling a bold-faced lie. And they could say honestly after they tell you a bold-faced lie.
That was the thing I've been mentioning about reading Churchill in pre-war and the lies that Hitler just bold-faced told these guys, and they wanted to believe so much they totally deluded themselves. And what a price we pay. But honesty, well, let's find out a little more about it from Mighty Sparrow.
Best policy, but they won't refer it to people like me. Honesty is the best policy, but they wasn't referring to people like me. Rich people could say anything because they live in like queen and king. Whenever your neighbor living in luxury, the first man to tell you to be honest is he. Honesty is for the rich, they can all live above board. But it's one virtue which poor people can't afford. With temptation always knocking at your door, where the next meal coming from you're never sure. That is always the case when you're poor, so necessity knows no law. It's good to be honest, I wouldn't deny, but through dishonesty, plenty people get by. To cheat and to lie is very, very wrong, but that's the way politicians get along. The amount of lie politicians tell, when they're dead, all of them going straight to hell. Before election, they talk in honesty, but after election, they practice in irrationality. Honesty is for the rich, they can all live above board. But it's one virtue politicians can't afford. With temptation always knocking at their door, when the next meal coming from they're never sure. That is always the case when you're poor, wise necessity knows no law. Rich people who don't invest their money is crippling the nation's economy. They can assist things like unemployment by simply making a small investment. So whenever a poor man break up my shop, the government should lock a rich man up. Magistrates always penalizing we, but these blessed misers create dishonesty. Honesty is for the rich, they can all live above board. But it's one virtue which poor people can't afford. Temptation always knocking at your door, where the next meal coming from you're never sure. That is always the case when you're poor, so necessity knows no law.
That was Mighty Sparrow singing the song Honesty.
Oh, that's honestly depressing.
Oh, it gets down to the nitty-gritty.
Well, you know, I've never been, and I have to knock wood, so desperate that I would lie to get something. Also, I've always had a sense that I wouldn't have to lie to get what I wanted. I just knew that somewhere in my life. What I'm talking about is that sense of despair. It doesn't feel like there's any hope. You know, you do anything to eat a piece of bread or to have money or to go anywhere or whatever. You don't see any options. So then lying to get what you want or stealing or whatever becomes an option. The spiritual path gives us options that we go beyond what we think.
Wouldn't you say so, Barney? Oh, yeah. You know, you got to leave thinking off way back before. Thinking is like the first step in the journey toward, what was it, waking up. That's the first step. You think about it. Like it said in that thing that you read there, it's not just theory or sentimentality, but it's the actual real deal. That's because thinking only gets you so far. Thinking is like looking at a map. At a certain point, you have to get on the road and feel it. That's why in the stages of prayer, which I practice, you start off with the intellect, but it can only take you so far up the mountain of prayer. And then it turns you over to feeling. And you go with feeling further up the mountain toward the light up there where the prayer is at its best. But even feeling can't take you all the way. At a certain point, feeling turns you over to the next guide, and the next guide is your will. See, finally, when it gets down to it, it's your will that determines the nature of your experience. Will is where the tire hits the train track, or something like that.
Well, I would say it differently, Barney.
How would you say it, Rochelle?
I think there's a point when you can just let go. And it's not about will or anything else. Maybe you'll use your will to just let go and allow a higher mind or a higher power or higher feelings to take over. It's sort of a surrender. It's a surrender to something that's more than you are. And in that surrender, answers come and solutions to problems come and understanding comes. In the state of watchfulness that takes place in that place where you let go of all your assumptions and whatever it is to even watch, you see. You really do see more than you could possibly see in a different frame of mind.
Honestly?
Honestly.
Huh. Well, there's like a couple different perspectives, oh ye listeners out there.
But different perspectives are what makes the tree come to life. You know, if everybody stands around the tree and describes what the tree looks like, all the definitions start to make the tree real.
As long as I have the right to be the right definition of everything, of course, it's perfectly fine for you to have your approximations. I beg your pardon, who was that?
Who was that?
I have no idea, but go away.
Honestly. A sense of honesty when we're just become aware that you don't have to worry that if you're truly honest, anything's going to happen to you. Be honest. I won't punish you if you're honest, parents will say to a child. I won't punish you if you're honest.
You know, I won't slap you as much.
But if you're dishonest, I'm going to really get you. And what does that mean? That you tell the truth, that you tell it like it really happened and not try to avoid it because you think something bad is going to happen to you. You really did climb up on that table and knock the lamp off. It didn't get knocked off by the cat. It didn't just fall as you walked by and didn't see it at all. Honestly.
Well, then there's the fear of blame and pain. Those are big fears, and those are very powerful things that drive us into making choices that are less than honest. Blame and pain. Ooh.
What do you mean by blame and pain?
Blame, it's your fault.
Oh.
And the pain that goes with that. You shouldn't have done that. I blame you for that.
Oh, what you're experiencing, shame.
That's the other side of it. That's what I infer.
There's
the
blamer.
The blame and the shame. Which is an act that I saw recently. Blame and shame. Don't you remember that? Blame and shame. Da, 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 something like that.
I don't think so.
If not now, then when? We've been kind of focusing on the two sides of it, the honesty and the dishonesty. But in the middle of all this, it's important to have a sense that we have a positive message. We have glad tidings.
And they'll lay you down low and easy, and the love that you kiss will say Christmas. Hear the mass that you travel the distance, but believe no lies. Try your eyes, you'll realize. Talking numbers, and the princess will wake up from her slumber, and all the knights will step forth with their armbands, and every stranger you meet in the street will make demands. So believe no lies and dry your eyes. And realize.
not taking any chances. But meet them halfway with love, peace, and persuasion. And expect them to rise for the occasion. And get gratified when you see it materialize right in front of your eyes. Fast surprise. La 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 la. La 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 la.
Honestly, what does he mean by la 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 la?
He being Van Morrison singing Glad Tidings. Senator, I know you've got glad tidings for us. This is Senator Beauregard, and he is the head of the Human Party. And he is making a serious launch of your campaign soon. You're going to go public with your perspective, Senator? What can you tell us? Well, thank you. It's good always to be here on this program and have the opportunity to be able to put forth the premise, as you say, like that word, the goal of the Human Party and why we believe in the Human Party and the importance of it. And the importance of it is that if people don't recognize the power of the unity, they're going to miss the potence of it because it's not very potent, but it's impotent. And that's why it's important to remember the potency of the importance of the Human Party, which is to make it possible for everyone to come to the party. In order to do this, the first thing you have to do is you have to make a beeline for unity, because as long as there is divisiveness, honestly now, as long as there's divisiveness, especially when it is aggressively perpetuated, as it is in this here culture right now, which we've pointed out between the two different parties and the different religions, et cetera, unity has to come and take its place. Interesting thing is, wherever unity is achieved anywhere on the planet, it affects everything else. So just by making unity in your own circumstances, you are affecting the whole. Because unity is so powerful and so strong that wherever it is achieved, it sends a ripple current of release of resistance and positive life-giving energy into everything else. Everywhere, and you keep adding up that, and you add more people to that, by golly, you're going to have some power. Don't listen to those lies, as he said in the song. I think that's good. Be honest, because then when you're honest, well, honestly, you can say that you know where it is from which you speak. And that's a good place to be, honestly.
I want to look for a second, if you don't all mind, at why we use the expression so much. Somebody will say, honestly, I only paid $2 for this. Honestly, are we perceiving that it's possible someone will think we're lying? Do we have to set ourselves up to make sure we're perceived as an honest person?
We're not kidding, which we did last week.
I did this. Honestly, I really did. There's a sense of, you won't believe me.
It's kind of like heading off your doubt. You see the doubt about to come out of the person, and you want to head it off.
And then you say, honestly.
Before the doubt can kind of get going, catching up any speed or momentum, you have just stopped it in its tracks.
I like that.
Or so you hope.
Honestly.
Yeah.
I think so. That's why we say certain things, and we say them over and over again. Sometimes I'm with people who use an expression all the time. It sort of sets up whatever they're going to say next. An expression doesn't even matter what it is at this point. But it sets up what's coming. And you pay attention because it's like that expression. Pay attention. Okay, now sell me something. Or honestly does that. It sets up what's coming. It's an opening act.
So if you want a good opening act for your what's coming your way, OE listener out there, because you know it's coming your way. We don't know what it is, but if you're honest with yourself, you know it is coming. Some variety of circumstances that are going to impact your awareness in one way or another.
Honestly.
The whole point is to be aware, to pay attention, to watch, and it all begins with the practice of being honest with yourself, which makes me want to play this little ditty because it really is about being dishonest or honest. Sarah Humphries, Dishonesty. There it is again.
I think deceptive behavior saves our ass. That's why we do it.
Yeah, pretty much.
We're so afraid that somebody is going to be upset with us or get mad at us or hurt us that we'll do anything. And deceptive behavior, we believe, will, in those instances, save our little butts. Keep us whole, keep us from hurting, keep us from experiencing pain. Honestly.
We have to come to grips with our relationship to pain and loss.
Yeah.
The bad news is that life will give you those opportunities. But from the other point of view, the good news is that life will give you those opportunities. Because if we can not resist, we can pay attention and just observe and see what's going on. Watch it when the pain and the difficult circumstances come your way and not be so quick to react, but to hold it and ask of it what its message is. What lesson do you need to learn? If you can't do that because it's too just bloody painful, then just do the best you can.
Wherever you are.
For example, prisoners of war who are being tortured, or other circumstances where people have been unbelievably and are continuing to be abused. What if that person had a faith? I'll give you an example. I attended an ashram kind of experience with Gangaji, and there was a woman who spoke up at the event, and she had just been raped by three young men that weekend. It had just happened to her. And she shared her experience was that she mothered them while they were doing that. She kind of just embraced them as a mother would and held them in her love. Maybe that's what it means when they say divine love is outgoing and it's satisfaction seeking, because the human woman who's being raped and violated could not have been pleasant, and yet she was able to achieve a certain level of awareness, of mastery, to be able to move and shift into that part of her that could have real compassion and not be sucked into the immediacy of the pain. Yeah?
Honestly, it doesn't feel like rape, though, when that happens.
Exactly. That was her point. Rape was transformed into something else, because of whatever gift that she was given to be able to be more expanded than the person who just had the body and who was having that experience. So she was someone who had achieved a certain level of awareness and as a result was able to adapt and hold these people. There was more to the story I don't remember, but there was continuance with them in a way that she continued in some kind of motherly, supportive service way, but I don't remember. I was impacted by it, though.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
So we are Inside Out, The Naked Truth, our sponsors. One is Go Raw, and you can get Go Raw at Safeway, at Costco. Go Raw is Trader Joe's now. Go Raw is natural food made from sprouted, purest kind of food there is. So you're going to get enzymes that could walk up to you and say, buddy, I am a really good, clean enzyme.
Honestly.
And of course, our co-sponsor, Universe Spirit, which is trying to wake us up before the wake-up call just happens, which is this amazing climate change that's just already causing major shifts in our condition and our situation. One of those things the universe says, you will pay attention.
Honestly.
But in the meantime, Rochelle, what do we need to remember?
Resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Honestly?
Honestly.
Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job One for Humanity, Climate Restabilization.
Come visit UniverseSpirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.